Good morning. The scripture today is from Luke 10:25-37. Just then a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" He answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." As he said to him, "You have given the right answer. Do this and you will live." But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers, who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, 'Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." This is a reading of God's word.
Thank you, BJ. In the church, we talk a lot about love as well as we should. We teach it, we preach it, we sing about it, and we do our best to live it. Love is the Christian faith summed up in one word. Jesus called it the sign of discipleship. Usually when we talk about love, we lift up love for God, lift up other people, and those are things that we definitely should be doing. But this morning, I want to turn the coin over, flip it over, and I want to talk about, is it okay to love yourself? Because I see a lot of people in this world who do not have a healthy self-respect, a healthy love for their own person. But how do you love yourself without being arrogant or getting caught up in the I or the me-ism that so many people are? As a backdrop to our thinking along these lines, remember in verse 10, which BJ just read, "Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself." Jesus follows this up by saying, "Do this and you will live." In this important section of scripture, 3 kinds of love are spelled out: love for God, love for neighbor, and love for self. Jesus tells us that it's okay to love God, it's okay to love our neighbor, and he implies that it is okay to love oneself. It is not only okay to love yourself, but it is important to have that healthy love for your own person. Proper self-love or positive self-esteem is essential to health and happiness and wholeness in this life. One Friday evening, a minister had just finished a wedding rehearsal and had come back to his office to clean off his desk before he went home. He heard a knock on the church door. When he responded, he found a well-dressed young man, looked to be somewhere maybe in his mid-40s. He found out later that he was an attorney from another city. His face was pale and drained. Fear and panic were in his eyes. He said, "I invited him in. We introduced ourselves, sat down, and started talking." He said, "I need your prayers. I'm so terribly alone. I'm so confused. I'm so mixed up. I can't seem to pray for God, for myself, and I don't have any friends anymore who will pray for me. I came to Houston tonight and the thought of ending it all, but when I saw the steeple in your church, that stopped me from harming myself. And I thought there might be some help at this church for my loneliness." He said, "Everything's gone wrong. I've lost my confidence in my professional ability. My wife has left me. I can't get along with my children. I'm cut off from my parents and my in-laws. I'm having conflicts with my coworkers, and I've started drinking very heavily. Everybody's left me, and I don't blame them. I've been bitter. I've been hostile. I've done so many mean and cruel things, and now I have so many problems in my life. He paused for a moment and took a deep breath, and then he leaned forward and said, "To tell you the truth, I think all of my problems are really symptoms. My real problem is that I just don't like myself. And that taints everything that I do. When you don't like yourself, when you don't feel good about yourself, it distorts every relationship that you have." The minister goes on to say, "As I listened to that young lawyer, I found myself remembering a quote that I'd read some time back from Dr. John Bunnell, who had been pastor of Fifth Avenue Presbyterian Church in New York. This is what he said: whenever one finds an individual who has become a fountain of bitterness, taunting and criticizing people, saying cruel things that wound the hearts of friends, one who may be sure that he is dealing with someone who hates himself and loathes and even despises his own self. And the bitterness manufactured by such a person is but the projection of his own contempt for himself." He said, "I'm thinking of the alcoholic. I'm thinking of the drug addict who despises himself and what he is becoming, who loathes his inability to cope with his problems, who wrestles constantly with guilt and result is mean to his wife and his children. I'm thinking of the college student who doesn't study, flunks her exam, and then, disgusted with herself, takes it out on her roommate with hostile, critical words. I'm thinking of the business executive who misses out on the big deal. He blows it and he comes home. He fusses at his wife and his children and even reaches out and hurts or harms his own pet." Think about your own life for a moment. Isn't it true that usually when we fuss at someone else, it's because we are often upset with our own self? Dr. Ernest Fitzgerald tells of having a bad day when he had mishandled some things, and he came home and he was frustrated and he was angry with his own self. His wife had bought him a brand new suit that day, and he tried it on and he complained bitterly about everything about the suit. "I can't believe you bought this suit. It looks horrible. The color is wrong. The style is wrong. It doesn't even fit me." Okay, his wife responded, "I'll take it back." The next day was a very good day for Dr. Fitzgerald. He accomplished a lot and corrected some of the mistakes that he had made the day before, and he came home whistling, feeling good about himself and about his life and the way things were progressing. When he went into the master bedroom, he immediately saw a suit hanging on the closet door, and he thought, "Great, my wife has exchanged that suit for a new one." And he tried it on. He said, "Now this is more like it. The suit looks good. It feels good. It fits great. It's perfect," he said to his wife. "Thank you so much." His wife just looked at him and said, "Ernest, that's the exact same suit that you tried on yesterday." Isn't that the way it works? When we're unhappy with ourselves, we project that aggravation onto other people. On the other hand, when we feel good about ourselves, we're more loving, patient, kind, gracious towards family and friends and neighbors and coworkers. Many of our deep personal problems arise from a proper self-love. Many of the sins we commit, wrongs we do, crutches we lean on, irritations we experience come not from feeling good about ourselves. And self-respect is just so very important. A healthy self-respect, a healthy love is essential to a productive, creative, and meaningful life. Self-hatred is destructive. It is dangerous. Low self-esteem is crippling. Disliking ourselves can lead to bitter insecurity. And bitter insecurity can cause persons to be critical of everything and hostile towards everyone. A man said it's like this: a man who is at war with himself will certainly be at war with others. This bitter insecurity can cause us to be worried all the time, fretful, running scared, anxiety-ridden, and suspicious of everyone and everything. Some people are so insecure that even turn genuine compliments into defeats and insults. And I'm telling a story from another preacher, but it's actually happened to me. He told a lady, my, don't you look so nice today? And quick, just really quick, she said, oh, you said today, so that means I don't normally look nice. That kind of bitter insecurity, which springs from a dislike of oneself, is self-destructive and depleting. It robs us of the joy of this life and makes everyone around us uncomfortable. Disliking ourselves can lead to jealousy. And this jealousy can cause us to be envious, resentful, and oftentimes cruel. When you don't like yourself, when you see every person as a rival, you see everyone around you, even family and loved ones, as the enemy, as someone better than you, and you feel that you need to undercut them and put them down. A couple of years ago, a woman came to see her pastor, and she wanted to arrange for her to see a psychiatrist. She said, I have a real problem just getting out of hand. I'm extremely jealous. I resent the good fortunes of my friends. I'm always suspicious of my husband, and I'm afraid I might fly into a rage and cause someone to get hurt. Pastor, I referred her to a psychiatrist, and she had given the psychiatrist and the pastor permission to talk to one another, or it wouldn't happen. The psychiatrist told the minister, said, I know her problem. She just doesn't like herself, and she can't like or love anyone else until she learns how to feel good about herself. Self-hatred is so dangerous. It can lead to volatile jealousy and cause us to hurt other people, even those who are closest to us. Third and finally, disliking ourselves can lead to self-pity. Remember how Charlie Brown put it? I know the world is filled with hatred because the whole world hates me. This kind of self-pity causes us to look for crutches in this life. Temporary attempts at pick-me-ups like drugs or alcohol or even food that only in the end adds to the problem that we already have. They don't pick us up, not for long, but they always let us down. They don't make us stronger, they make us weaker. Do you want to feel good about yourself? Do you want to like yourself in a healthy way? Then remember this, you are a child of God, and God loves you, and nothing in this world can cut you off from the love of our Heavenly Father. You are very unique to God. A teacher once asked on a quiz, expecting the kids to write long answers as we normally do, and said, you are unique, or she said, what in the world is different now from 50 years ago? And one little girl just wrote one word. She wrote, me. Just me. And she was right. You and I are unique to this world. There's only one me. There's only one you. No one else can be you. You're different from every other person. We may have similarities, but you are unique and you are special. And God has given you unique abilities and gifts and things for you to do to help others and to help yourself. God wants us to become all that we can be, to use all that we have as human beings and as Christians. You're very special to God. If you're special, that means that you are a valuable person. If you ever doubt or wonder about this, then remember the story of the old man who was brought into a hospital emergency room on a stretcher late one night. He was an apparent heart attack victim. He looked poor and disheveled and looked like probably a street person, and he looked to be unconscious. Two medical students were working on him, and they took one look at him and said, "What in the world should we do with this wretched, worthless man?" The old man opened his eyes slightly, but was able to speak out with a strong voice. "Call him not worthless for whom Christ died." Everybody on this planet is of value and of worth. God loves you. Learn to love yourself in a healthy way so you can reach out and love to others. May God bless you. Amen.